We arrive here today to debate at social distances from each other.
There's no doubt that the old politics of the two-party system is now gone and over.
I don't need lectures from you or anybody on the Sinn Féin side of the house.
We're very reluctant to say what's red lines, but we do have to take climate seriously.
There's going to be constant criticism, there's going to be a lot of disappointment, and whoever goes into government is going to be unpopular.
Okay. Hello, and you're very welcome to Your Politics podcast from RTE News. Today, Micheál Lehane and Sandra Hurley are joining me, and maybe we could call this podcast, Sandra Hurley, the big green light.
Yeah, I think a lot happening, a lot more than we were expecting. And I think everyone in government looked pretty happy today because politicians like nothing better than to deliver good news. And they had certainly underpromised in the lead up to this. Over the weekend and the last couple of days, there were a lot of surprises, and now they're over delivering. And they've got the political cover because we are told, now we haven't seen the NPHET letter, but we are told that the government has stuck to the public health advice. If NPHET has given them the green light for doing all of this stuff, then certainly the opposition has very little, I think, to needle them with. And any opposition members I've spoken to so far, they have been supportive of this because I think they all have a political antenna that tells them that most people are at the end of their tether. There are risks involved here, of course, but it's not as risky as it was at the end of December.
OK, we'll have a look at what the politicians on the opposition benches have to say. But Micheál, if you can just give us your overview of what the government has actually done, how have they articulated and explained what they're doing? And how's that going to go down within the coalition itself?
Within the coalition, it looks fairly cohesive. I think Catherine Martin clearly, and you could see that from the press conference tonight as well, has a desire to try and nail down as many specifics as she can about the opening up of arts and sports and the possibilities of people being able to attend events at some point in the summer. She's saying she got support from her cabinet colleagues today to do that, and a signal is now being sent to the live events sector that there is hope and there is possibility. Other than that, it's
through pilots. These pilots, she referenced a really interesting gig, I think it was, in Barcelona, where they used antigen testing. You arrived up, if you passed the antigen test, you went in, and then a week later they came back to you, and I think they only found something like 6 or 8 people who had actually become positive, and for them they knew didn't actually get COVID-19 as a result of the gig. So like, it was an interesting thing.
And the Taoiseach also speaking about that event at the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party meeting last night.
Yeah. So what are we doing, or do we know what we're doing?
See, I don't know, because as is happening in relation to sport, there is a draft plan that's being put together. Not a plan, a draft plan. When it comes to these test events, and it was mentioned at Cabinet last week as well, about the fact that this work is underway and there was an expert group. It's all these kind of terms. When is it going to happen? Well, it's not going to happen in June. We know that. So a possibility for sometime in July. Does that open up at the end of July? Things like the All-Ireland Finals. Could you get a number of people in there? Could you get 10%? Could you get 8,000 people into Croke Park?
Okay. Well, I think we're jumping ahead a little bit. Sandra, if I can bring you back in, what do we know is going to happen next month? And is there any doubt over any of that?
Well, the big day seems to be May 10th when you get inter-county travel and you get click and collect, sports training. People can meet up in each other's gardens. There's certain numbers. I think it's 6 people in total from a maximum of 3 households. May 10th is the big date, and then May 17th for the rest of non-essential retail. And there doesn't seem to be much doubt over it. I think the doubt is probably more in terms of what has been flagged to happen in June. Hotels and guest houses back on June 2nd, and then outdoor dining on June 7th. Of course, everything is contingent on the public health advice, and the government will most likely review this over the course of the month and especially at the end of the month. But there is a lot happening.
Yeah.
There's just so much surprise involved in it. And Leo Varadkar has been stressing all day that it means 200,000 people back at work. And he's also mentioned a mini boom from the middle of May with all that pent-up consumer demand. Of course, the other thing with Fine Gael, of course, and Leo Varadkar is he has emphasised both in the Dáil and at the press conference this evening that a lot of this is being done with borrowed money. And that's something that he has underlined. And that really is that hint that those income and business supports cannot continue in the current form forever. What we've been told, it looks like they will be tapered down from July with a clear plan by the end of May.
OK, well, let's bring it back to June. So we've just got a clear picture of May and it all looks fairly solid. Micheál, if I bring you back in, the hospitality sector had hoped that hotels and pubs would be walking in unison and that whatever rules apply to one were going to apply to the other. What is the government actually going to do?
From the 2nd of June, hotels, guest houses can open, and that means in the case of hotels that the residents there can eat in the restaurants, and you would think the bar would be open for residents as well. So that's indoor dining taking place for residents within hotels. For the pubs and restaurants, well, there will be no indoor dining before July, at least it seems, possibly sometime in early July. But what they will get, but it won't be on the same date as the hotels and guest houses, it'll be a few days later on the 7th of June, is the chance to open up and serve outdoors. And they won't be bound by the numbers of people who can stay outside the premises. It won't be set at 15 any longer. And there will be no distinction anymore between gastro pubs and wet pubs. All pubs will be treated the same and pubs won't have to serve that
nuggets.
9 euro meal. You won't have to buy the nuggets or the pizza anymore. No.
Grand. Now, when it comes to this issue, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin said that he was prepared. There wasn't any problem in sharing the public health advice, which assisted them in arriving at that conclusion. Different treatment for pubs as to hotels. But it might be something which opposition parties are going to latch onto. It could be maybe that point where opposition politicians are going to have a go at the government.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I think, and we saw that today, and you could see a bit of pressure coming on, because it's interesting, there definitely was a moment yesterday where the possibility of hospitality outdoors opening up on May 24th seemed quite real, quite tangible. But not alone did that not happen. It ended up in the final place, the last place, on June 7th, once last night's meeting had concluded. And that's all based on NPHET advice. And despite the positivity around NPHET and the advice last night and the shock from politicians in one sense that things were looking so well, I know that risk overall measured as somewhere between low to moderate. But in a sense, there was some surprise. But that key question of hospitality is something that NPHET is still cautious about. I think, though, from the people who sat around the cabinet table today, while there is the possibility of pitfalls in May, that does exist. There is a possibility of that. There is also a kind of a silent feeling this evening that perhaps everything is up for negotiation, that if things are going really well, there's a possibility of looking at that again before June. But that's only a possibility.
One other thing which I meant to mention, Sandra Hurley, was just looking at social media as they were discussing May. One issue which was something of a wrinkle was this limitation when it came to communions and confirmations. Micheál Martin saying they weren't going to happen in May, and it didn't appear from what he said they were going to happen in June either. And once again, it seemed, at least on social media, that there was a sense among the public that there was an inconsistency here. How can you be meeting in the park, but for such a special event? We're in May, you know, many, many people would be of the Catholic faith would be doing this, and they're not going to be allowed to.
Yes, it clearly is something that is annoying people, but I think the government has been clear on this type of thing all along. It's not the gathering itself, that's the problem. It's more the socialising afterwards. And that was something that they have been concerned about previously. And I can imagine that is why they have calibrated it as they have. But there are going to be people annoyed. And there are sectors that are losing out here as well. You've just been talking about restaurants having to wait until longer. There are many restaurants, we're told, who won't be able to serve outdoors at all, and they'll just have to remain shut. And of course, the music industry and there are other areas who quite simply are going to be at the back of the queue. So it's not as simple as saying it's a good news story for everybody today. The politicians are trying to emphasise the hope. Catherine Martin very much trying to signal to all of the sectors under her watch that good news is on the way eventually, but she can't promise anything absolutely specific today other than those pilot events.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting that cinemas were on the government's plan on the website, 7th of June, it was going to happen. And then when I logged back in, suddenly it had disappeared. So even that's an example of how sort of, you know, shaky things can be. I mean,
I think that is an example, though, of you can see the push from that department about trying to open up cultural parts and the arts and that desire. Of course, there is something there in May. There is that outdoor gathering of 15 people allowed, which is very much in an arts context. So you can see the push from that department very clearly. I suppose there's a bigger question too, isn't there? Is there this sense that what's going to be allowed now in May is by and large and effectively happening already. And it is the
hairdressers aren't happening already. Well, shops.
are they? Has anyone got their haircut?
Have you got something personal that you want to say?
No, I bought it trimmers, €30. Attempted to cut my own hair, but didn't get very far.
My wife has cut mine three times. My daughter had a go as well.
Yeah, so. But I mean, it is. I mean, hairdressers themselves have said they are worried about when they do reopen that there is going to be a tendency, maybe for people that won't return because there have been successful hair cutting opportunities elsewhere. That's a reality that that does exist, and there are lots of people meeting up already, and county travel and going between counties has been happening. At the same time, the data that the Taoiseach spoke about tonight, that is that the number of close contacts has remained relatively low and relatively constant, would still suggest that overall people have been compliant with the guidelines.
I mean, this plan was supposed to be about May, June and July, but there was also talk of September. The Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, saying, don't expect people going back to the office until September. It could change. He felt it was unlikely. And Taoiseach Micheál Martin also talking about September in the context of third level students, saying it's an absolute priority. Get them back into campus life. They've already suffered enough.
That's a huge thing. And you can see that, you know, you get these kind of key messages that come from government and that are constantly repeated. And it was reopening the schools was one of them. And you can see clearly that the focus is now on third level. And of course, things like antigen testing could be key there to getting as many people back on campus as possible in September.
Yeah, Ciara Phelan of the Mirror asked Taoiseach Micheál Martin about what was the chances of nightclubs opening up and expressing her personal desire to get back to Coppers as quickly as possible. The Taoiseach said he didn't think it was very likely he was going to be going soon, but I think he was probably talking for the nation rather than just himself, Sandra.
Yes, and it gave Leo Varadkar an opportunity to mention his knowledge of Coppers. He said something it had a large outdoor area and a balcony. So he suggested to the Taoiseach that there was a possibility.
He knows about the young people, isn't he? He's a zeitgeisty guy.
Clearly he's been there. Now, I don't know if he has a gold membership card, which apparently that is very sought after, but a little bit of levity there at the press conference. But it seems that the nightclubs generally are quite a bit off at the moment.
Micheál, was there anything there for maybe, you know, people who are sort of on the margins of our society? I mean, there seem to be an awful lot for people who have money because they're going to be able to spend and get their hair cut or spend and go to shops or do these things. What about people who are on sort of the margins of society, whether they happen to be unemployed, whether they are homeless, whether they are families dealing with people with disabilities? Was there something there to try and give that flavour that the government, that there was something for everyone in this announcement?
I think the thing when it comes to something for everyone, kind of the focus seems to be around the ability of families to meet up, isn't it, for the first time, whether that's being able to meet up in their gardens now, having three households come together, or even where you can see someone visiting another household, someone visiting who isn't vaccinated, and that particular emphasis on allowing grandparents and families to meet up for the first time in many cases, months. I think that is the clear, tangible thing that probably goes out to everyone.
Yeah, Sandra Hurley, you are our vaccine editor of this particular podcast. I thought that Leo Varadkar said, it was interesting that he said the big difference between this announcement and the announcement last summer was vaccines. And once again, the question of vaccines was repeated again and again by the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin. Where do we stand on vaccines at the moment, and how much does this anchor the announcement that the government made today?
Oh yes, no question. It absolutely anchors the announcement. And I think you can tell from the government that despite all the bumps along the road, that they are very optimistic now about the vaccination programme. Yes, we're waiting to hear exactly how the HSE is going to reframe it, given all the changes recommended by NIAC earlier this week. But they do seem relatively confident that they're going to hit the targets, are pretty close to the target, the key one being that 82% having a first dose by the end of June. And that is key to all of it. Paul Reid was very positive, Paul Reid from the HSE, about the vaccination programme, and that pretty soon they are going to get to that weekly target that they need to hit, that 250,000. I think the aim is to start hitting that from maybe the second week of May, and they really need to get to that point and above to reach the full target by the end of June. But they say that the supply, we've been using this phrase, ramping up for a long time.
Don't do it.
It's going to ramp up
in
April.
Don't do it.
It's going to ramp up again in May, and we'll be talking about ramping up again in June.
That's five times you mentioned it.
There is a member of government and a GP involved in the vaccination programme. We know after the story in the Irish Sun this week.
A Sun exclusive.
Yep.
And do they have pictures?
I don't think so. I think they have the pictures, weren't they? Pictures of Leo Varadkar in kind of a laboratory setting from previous standing with Simon Harris. Yeah.
Okay. And do you recall how many times we heard that announcement that he was going back to the front in that first stance? How many times or many hours did he do?
I don't know, but he has done a couple of shifts at the Helix, which is run by GPs, and he's not vaccinated himself, and he does intend to do more time there, apparently.
Okay. One more question for both of you, just on this announcement, and then I want to have a quick word about this by-election, which is coming up in Dublin Bay South. But same question to both of you. When it comes to opposition parties, I'll start with you, Micheál. Opposition parties confronted by this plan, what's the tack going to be?
I think, as you pointed out earlier, the restaurants and the hotels and the difference, and is it equitable and is it fair? I think that's going to be a key. I think the opposition focus too is likely to remain on the vaccination targets and how they're going to be met. And that big question that probably has to be answered now, if there is that group from 50 to 59 that the Janssen vaccine is earmarked for, and we know the portal for that group is going to open up next week, but if there is a wait of a few weeks for the huge bulk of those vaccines to arrive, well, then does that open up the possibilities that people like me in their 40s could be vaccinated before people like you in your 50s?
Thank you, Micheál, for doing that to me live on air. Sandra, where do you think it might go? Will they stick to the vaccines or could they find another thing? I mean, say, for example, Micheál Martin was asked repeatedly that you're going to be watching this thing very carefully. But what are the criteria? What are the numbers which would alarm you into making changes to this plan of reopening Ireland? Would that be something maybe opposition parties would latch onto?
Yeah, I think what we've seen all along from government is they've been extremely reluctant to put any targets on any hard data in terms of when they might reopen or when they might retrench. So Micheál Martin didn't go there today. I think for the opposition, they very much could read the fact that people want this reopening at this point. Labour and the Social Democrats today are talking again about suppressing the virus and doing all that can be that should be done in order to do that. Alan Kelly mentioning antigen testing and rolling that out more widely. Roisin Shortall talking about testing and tracing. I think for Sinn Féin, they've been pushing this point all week about the withdrawal of income and business supports, the PUP, the wage subsidy, the CRIS, all these other supports. That is what they have. That's the battle line that they have drawn. The government, of course, has signalled for a long time that they're going to be tapered down. But remember when they tried to reduce the PUP before, this is really difficult territory. People will not want to give up these supports. And it's going to be really unpopular. And Sinn Féin are really honing in on that.
So maybe keeping their powder dry. Micheál, we had this surprising announcement by Eoghan Murphy of Fine Gael, a former housing minister, but something of a cipher over the past year, that he is going to leave politics at the tender age of 39 and move on.
Yeah, going for a job in international relations. A surprise.
What job?
I don't know. It's kind of vague, isn't it? But it's something in
Neil
human
Richmond
rights.
Seemed to have an idea when he blurted it out, when he didn't mute his microphone in the middle of a committee, as Taoiseach Micheál Martin was speaking.
Was there a real specific on that?
He sort of said he thought he might have something lined up.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, he clearly seems to have something lined up. He just hasn't really revealed what it was. We've had broader democracy, human rights.
Stuff.
Good stuff like that. But I suppose it's a significant development. I mean, Eoghan Murphy had been quieter since the election. He hadn't retained his place in cabinet, but there was a feeling that he would really just perhaps bide his time for a while. And that, I mean, initially wasn't a thought that himself and Leo Varadkar were going to drive around the country together, rebuilding Fine Gael. Wasn't that meant to be the initial focus? The pandemic.
With a cash machine in the boot.
And the resurgence of COVID really, I mean, stopped that. Yeah. And then he said he had lost interest in recent times in the role, and it was important to walk away if that happens. It is unusual. You did have Brian Hayes leaving politics just before you reached 50, and now someone in their very late 30s leaving as well. It does signal a change in Irish politics that a huge number of people used to stay around here until very late in their careers or until they lost their seat. So a new generation who have achieved a lot in the sense of political holding of political office. What has been achieved while in that office is a totally different question, and something Eoghan Murphy's critics would have very strong views about. But he did, in the sense of holding and attaining office and rising to the political ranks, do well in that decade.
Sandra Hurley, the king is dead. Long live the king. Who is going to take that crown in that really interesting constituency of Dublin Bay South? I was talking to one TD who felt it was Fine Gael's to lose.
Yes, I think that is very much the political view, that this is a Fine Gael seat. It would be unconscionable for Fine Gael not to have a seat in Dublin Bay South, the old Dublin South East constituency. Back to the time of Garrett Fitzgerald, it's been Heartland for them. They had two TDs at one stage when they were doing well after 2011. And there's a lot riding on this, I think, because when you look at it, Leo Varadkar did not deliver the seats in last year's general election. He's going to have to do a big push here to get their person over the line. The question is, who is that going to be? A lot of intrigue, of course, around Kate O'Connell, not seen as close to Leo Varadkar. You've got another eager young councillor, James Gagan, who's interested as well. And then you've got the Green Party, the machinations there. Hazel Chew certainly wants to run. She'll have to come through a selection convention. How's that going to go down with Eamon Ryan? And then you've got Fianna Fáil, Jim O'Callaghan, the sitting TD, certainly is seen as a leadership contender for that party. So can he deliver a decent showing for the party? I think politically nobody would see Fianna Fáil as getting the seat, but it would be a test of their Dublin vote. And then you've got Sinn Féin on the up in general. Could they make a gain there? So there's a lot of personalities involved. I thought it's been fascinating the last couple of days because none of all these names that have been mentioned have ruled themselves in or out, because I think a lot of politicians like to be associated with this sort of thing, and they're keeping their announcements quiet at the moment.
I noticed that too, Micheál. You know, you send out the text but you don't get the reply.
Yeah. And there's been a frisson of excitement about the whole thing, hasn't there, in political terms? This is a return to something, despite the discomfort that elections can cause politicians. They are drawn to them as well.
Speaking of frisson of excitement, tell us all about this secret work you've been doing online to save RTE as an organisation and journalism in particular.
Can't yet. Very soon now. Very soon.
This is a bit like those TDs and senators that Sandra was talking about. You know, you ask them the question, they like their name being in the mix, but they don't tell you anything.
Yeah, just can't. It's terrible, isn't it?
What do you think, Sandra? It's suspicious.
Of Micheál's secret work here. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm intrigued. I wasn't aware, but now there's nothing more that I need to know. Much more than I need to know whether any of these people are running in Dublin Bay South. I need to know what Micheál's working on and what this is that's going to save RTE. So you've teed it up well, and we're going to have to get it out of him at some point.
Ivana Batory, of course, on a separate note, is running Dublin Bay South. We know that. The kind of
and the Sock Dems and People Before Profit. Let's mention everyone.
Yeah, it will be an interesting one for Ivana Batory, won't it, having a strong record in the Shannon, but yet when it comes to Dáil elections, never been able to get over the line.
Yeah, well, the time she should have got over the line was when the leader of the Labour Party, Eamon Gilmore, was running on Dunleary, and it was Fine Gael who managed their vote, came in within 600 votes of each other, I think it was, and there was a huge disparity between Eamon Gilmore's vote and his running mate, Ivana Batory. So that would have been one time when he really could have done it. So that's the by-election. Call it Fine Gael. Irrespective of whether it's Kate O'Connell or whether it's the councillor, James.
Gagan.
Yeah. Who seems to be operating already up. Just maybe that was a coincidence.
But of course it is a local matter and it's not a matter for the party leader.
Of course.
Who would have no opinion.
Oh, absolutely. One last thing, Micheál Hulahan, any horrendous words that you want to be consigned to the dungeon?
Someone was saying cliff edge, I suppose, has become part of the political parlance, hasn't
mentioned in the news conferences today, cliff edge.
No cliff edge.
Sandra,
ramping
anything?
Up and falling over cliff edge.
Actually, since this feature has been introduced, all I hear is the words that have been apparently consigned to the dustbin on previous podcasts. So how cognizant our listeners, our political people are, because the direction of travel is clear. All these words are still out there in the ether and they're being used all the time.
You didn't even have to take a deep dive to find all these
suite of measures.
Measures.
On that note, our failure, we're going to end this edition of Your Politics Podcast from RT News.
We'll be drilling deeper into the details of politics next week.
Exactly, indeed, of this announcement with all those moving parts. I'd like to thank our political correspondent, Micheál Hulahan, and our political reporter, Sandra Hurley, stroke vaccine editor. Please do leave a comment. We'd like to hear from you. Please do sign up to the podcast, even better. And we'll talk to you next week.